Have you ever really thought about what it means to be the people of God? I mean, like really thought about it. Said, okay, in the grand scheme of things, from the beginning of Genesis to where we are today, what's the purpose? What's the point? What is God doing? As you read through the Bible, it doesn't take long to recognize that the Bible's it's a love affair. It's a story of God and His love for His people. I mean, the fact that God reaches down to people like us, how He cares for us and He pursues us and He longs for us to live in relationship with Him. I mean, the ultimate example of that, of course, is the person and work of Christ. The author Paul of Philippians says that Jesus didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He humbled Himself. I mean, it seems like the chief end of this whole thing is this concept of incarnation, that God clothed Himself in humanity to live among us and to be an example of what it would mean to live in community. You begin to see that what God is really doing is giving us the example of humility, the example of service. In the finished work of Christ, He dies for us that we could now be kind of grafted in, if you will, to the people of God, that we, His bride, His church, could become followers of Christ. As you begin to look at the story of God, it's fascinating to see kind of how it plays out. Because in the story of God, it's never done as an individual. It's always done in community. Whether it's the nation of Israel of old or whether it's what God is doing in the context of His church even today. The question that kind of comes to my mind is then, what does it mean to be a part of the church? What is our calling? What is it for us to live as the people of God in a New Testament community? And certainly there's an ingathering aspect. I mean, it's hard to read the text and not see passages about loving one another and encouraging one another, praying for one another. But as you begin to look at the text, you realize it's not just about what's going on inside the church, it's about what's happening outside as well in our world. It's about what God is doing, not just in our midst, but in and around us, and what our responsibility and opportunity is to live missionally in the places where we live, work, and play. I mean, when you look at the concept of a local community, you look around, how different are we? Implanted in various places, with various networks of influences and people whom we interact with, and yet called with a singular purpose, to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. I mean, really, if you look at the church on a bad day, we've got a very awkward metaphor. It's a Camelot metaphor. If we could just build the right buildings and gather the right people in, and if we could sing the right songs and enjoy the right relationships together and do the right programs, then we can experience this thing called the church. And I go, man, what a story, and missing the point. And if that's the case, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves, as if God only cares about those that are in and not those that are out. He left the 99 to go find the one. As you read through the gospel accounts, you see that the purpose of the church is not just for us, but to be out in the world, to not cry out to a dying world that they're broken and in need of us to fix them, but that we ought to be out among the people as salt and light in a dying world, as an aroma of Christ, everywhere where we live, work, and play, living in a way that's bringing people to the knowledge of Christ, not just by what we say, but by how we live, so that we wouldn't just be the church that's gathered, but that we would also be the church that's scattered. So then if we are going to be the church that's scattered, what difference does it make in our communities? Like, what's really our calling? What is the sense of purpose that God has put in us as followers of Christ in these places, again, where we live, work, and play? I think the reality is, as you look at the New Testament church, even in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, verse 8, you get an outline of the book. It says you receive power when the Spirit comes upon you. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the earth. I mean, there's kind of a built-in dynamic that the church would be a church that is progressively influencing each community it's in. Well, if that's the case, then my life should make a difference in my neighborhood. Then getting to know my neighbor isn't just a form of social courtesy, it ought to be a form of biblical calling. The concept of getting involved, if I have kids, where my kids are in school, ought to be something that I do because I'm called as a follower of Christ to impact my city. And what does it look like for me then, as someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to live in my community like Jesus said, where I might demonstrate my faith? You know, when Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven, I think that's what it meant, that we ought to live now in these places in a way that's incredibly magnetic, that we would be men and women of faith that are an intentional blessing in the communities around us where God has placed us. that we would be culturally engaged, to be involved with what is happening around us in such a way as to be shaping community towards godliness, towards Christlikeness. And that we ought to live with this kind of inclusivity where we're inviting people in, where there's a sense of we want to invite people to be a part of what God is doing among us. That's what it means to be a part of the church, and that's part of our calling to live for Christ in these contexts. So as we started thinking about it, you say, okay, well then how do you help lead or shape a church into being more missional? Like, what are some of the things you can do? How do you go about taking a body of believers who, if we're honest, the gravitational pull for all of us is being more towards come to us or let's gather and not be the church scattered. How do you take it and help us see the opportunities we have around us? So we said, well, one of the things we could do is be intentional about it, right? So you don't oops yourself into being a missional church. You don't oops yourself into being spiritually aligned with Christ in such a way that you recognize my life is on loan, and so therefore I'm called to go and be a part of my community. So we've tried to focus our groups and our teams, our life groups and our ministry teams on being people that are looking into our community, serving, if you will. We also have canceled services once a year. And the idea behind that ultimately is to just make the point that it's not just about being gathered, but being scattered. And so as we did that, it's been fantastic. I mean, over the years, we've had hundreds, if not thousands, plus people coming to serve our community and be a part of what's happening at some of our target neighborhoods and some of the other areas or nonprofits here in town. Certainly, it's exposed people to opportunities. But we started asking the question of, is that it? Like, is that the best missional expression? What we started hearing, as good as it was, for a lot of folks, it was a little too prepackaged. So people would come and they'd serve for the day and they'd give themselves a rock and they'd go, man, that was great. I was missional today and that's it. So we started thinking, what could be next? We are always asking the why question. Why are we doing what we're doing and how can we get better? Well, as we started talking about that, we said, what if we made the whole concept of serve day and changed it from serve day, D-A-Y, like an event, and made it more like serve day, like D-E-I, the Latin word for God, and said, what would it look like instead of serving on a day together as a church, as an event, what would it look like to cultivate and create a greater organic lifestyle of service? We're serving God is what we do, because that's who we are. That's who Christ has called us to be. And so what would it look like to change that? And so what we're doing is shifting gears a little bit and saying, okay, what if mission was more organic? What if living missionally was more about what God is doing in our lives? If we can help everyone who comes to recognize the opportunity that we have to be missional where we live, where we work, and where we play, it recognizes God's sovereignty in putting us right where we're at. So it's not just about downtown, nor is it just about any part of town. It's about living wherever it is God has placed you, or in whatever area God has given you a burden. It's about living missionally in that place. And so what could that look like? Where it was more organic. It's more about brush fires of mission that happen all over. It's more about different communities all over our city and all over our valley being impacted from people who are getting together, say, with their life group and saying, hey, let's come together. Let's leverage our time. Let's leverage together our talents and our treasures and say, how can we be light to our community right where we are? Instead of having to come to one location put on by the church for an event, how can we do it already? And how do we get then neighbors to reach out to neighbors in such a way as to say, hey, let's together lock arms and let's be Christ in our community right here where we are. If that's the case, then it becomes less about what the church is doing and more about what the church, as in the people, are doing in every neighborhood in the city. And so we're thinking maybe, just maybe, that might be what God is beginning to stir in us next, of making Serve Day not about the event, but about what's happening bigger than that. And so we just want to encourage you to think about it that way, to change your paradigm of what service is and what being missional is, and recognize if we really are going to live called, then to live called is to live not just gathered, but to live scattered. And the opportunity of little packs of people to begin to gather together for whatever reason, and to gather together and then strategically and intentionally talk about How can we then take what it is God is doing in us and live for Christ in the community around us?
My name is Dale Norris. I'm the director of campus support here at The Well. I've been here a total of about 2 months, so a lot of this serve day is new to me. I'm getting caught up to speed on. I oversee some of the ministries, missions, worship, the junior high and high school, kids connections, and those kind of things. And I'm sitting here with Dave Obwald, our campus pastor at Fig Garden, and Andrew File. He's our spiritual formations director at Fig Garden as well. And so we're just going to take a few minutes and as a panel discuss kind of what this looks like, unpack it a little bit. Andrew, you were kind of on the front end of a lot of this, originally with Serve Day, and then as even some of the changes have taken place. Explain some of the whys and the hows this is going to look. What's that all about?
Yeah. I was there at the start, so I think literally I got hired, and they're like, all right, you're planning Serve Day. Oh, yeah, it's in 2 weeks, so figure that out. I've been with it from the start, and it started small. We all just went down to Susan B. I think there's 500 of us, and it's grown over the years. This last year, we were in 10 locations, 1,200 people, nonprofits, just throughout the city, really cool stuff. So we really want to celebrate what God did in the last couple of years. And if you guys were here in January, a lot of stuff has been stirring at The Well and The Well staff. And so there's been this theme of spiritual formation. And how do we understand and as a church live as disciples? Like, how do we get outside of a service to help people become more discipleship focused? And Brad was beating that drum in that video. And then also, in the January kind of season as we launched our ministry year. And so we began to wrestle with that. We began to go, what does it look like as we've been planning Serve Day? Like, how can we help people live the Serve Day idea? And that's where we, had some name change. And that's where we're kind of at is we're beginning to go, okay, we're going to make this a little bit more discipleship and a little more lifestyle focused.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it's a huge vision. I love the focus of it. How's it going to work, Dave?
That's an interesting question. So, as you heard from Brad in that video just now, like we're moving away from it being a one-day event and moving into it being kind of a month-long journey for us as individuals and groups and everything else. And so it starts tonight for all of us, and it starts on Sunday for all of us, wherever we're at. And so it starts with this. This is kind of the Serve Day packet. This is going to get passed around to all of us here. And at the end, as we're kind of having a time of reflection and worship together, and in this packet is what we would have normally spent on Serve Day. And it's disseminated out now 3,000 ways and it's going to be in all of our hands. And so now as a family, we're going to wrestle together. Me and my kids are going to wrestle together with God. What's God doing in us, where we live, where we work, and where we play? In your life group, you're going to be taking this to life group. We encourage you to take all of your packets together to a life group and go, all right, now God, what do you want us to do as a group of people or a few families together or a dorm room or whatever it is to wrestle with these things together? In the packet is kind of a description of what goes on, more of what we're talking about here tonight. It's also a challenge to reflect. There's a Bible study attached to it, which is the story of the loaves and fishes of Christ, where we go, God, I got nothing. I got a loaf and I got a fish. And unless you kind of show up here, I have no idea what to do. And how are you going to multiply this? Because you go, $5. What's $5? Well, $5 it's an insider in our lives. It's something that says, this is God's money. What might he want to do with us? What might he want to do with my own creativity, your own creativity, your own neighborhood, your own places of work or whatever it is? There's also a piece in here that challenges us to pray. Because I think if you're anything like me, I want to go straight to brainstorming. Right. I want to go straight to try to figure out, oh, I can do this, and I can do this, and I can multiply the money this way, I can do this. But for us all to pause and go, God, give us your eyes. Mm. Give us your heart for what's going on here versus just going to kind of human wisdom and, oh, I could figure this thing out or I could do it this way. So to pause and pray. And so that's kind of the packet and the process of what's going on.
Well, I know in just talking with you guys, the exciting thing is rather than a small group of people coming up with, a few projects and then expecting people to attend, it's really about thousands of people coming into this process. Yeah. And wrestling with it, struggling with it, questioning, praying, all those kind of things. And I got to be honest, I might relate with the guy that's there, might be a little intimidated by that. You get in the packet today and you're wondering, what am I going to do with this, And so it is a little intimidating.
Absolutely. I think we all, Andrew and I were part of the process of planning this, and I'm going home and going, I got to do this with my family, you know, and so we're all kind of wrestling with this sense of intimidation with it. I think it's easier for me, if I'm just speaking personally, to go up to something, a day or an event that somebody's already planned for me, and then I'll serve hard, and I'll be a part of that process and be so excited about it, but when somebody says, no, it's on me and what God's doing in my heart, that feels significantly more intimidating for me, and so I think it's going to be the same for all of us, and as a church, the people, God's people, for us to wrestle with that, and the process of this is going to be as important as the outcomes that come from it. And so as we're, you know, wrestling as families together or as life groups together, we want to be a help along the way. For, you know, if you have kids today in Kids Connection, they're going to be receiving a kind of a sheet of paper that's kind of talking about Serve Day at a kids level. And so they're going to be bringing that home and processing it with families. We would encourage all of us to remember that it's the ordinary things done with extraordinary love. And so I think all of us are going to feel a tension of, wow, Serve Day, we did these massive things. And so I can't duplicate that with $5. Or even if I multiplied the $5, I can't do something that big. And so for all of us to feel this sense of, it's okay. God's going to stir the creativity inside of us for whatever it is. It might just be with my neighbor. It might be to some of the least of these in our town. It might be at my kid's school. Whatever it is. But the creativity and what God's going to stir in you, that's the challenge. And it's not the size of it, but it's taking initiative for the sake of another, as Christ took initiative for us, that we want to see just fan all over this valley, from Turlock to Kingsburg to Clovis to Fresno, these pockets all over the place.
Yeah, what's exciting about that is the shift from trying to plan a big event to have an impact to trying to plan many, many thousands of little ordinary, like you said, ordinary things to see God use it for the extraordinary.
Yeah.
And that is exciting. We're anxious to kind of process through this as a congregation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andrew, tell us about the timeline. What's this look like? You know, I know we've canceled services in the past. Yeah. Are we doing that again? Talk through that a little bit.
Yeah. Like you said, in the past, we would, you know, cancel the service. We'd serve on that Saturday or Sunday, and then we'd do a recap. And so today launches the season of Serve Day. So this is the launch. In the coming weeks, and even today, we're going to share some stories. We leaked this process to a couple of their life groups, said, all right, here's some money. As a group, begin to wrestle with these questions, wrestle with what God would do. And so we have some of that going, and we're going to share some of those stories so you can identify, you can hear what is happening, what God is doing with some of the families, individuals, and groups in the church. And so in the next coming weeks, you're going to hear those stories, and you guys are going to take this back. So you're going to come back, you're going to process it as a family, process it in your life groups, process it as an individual, and then we're going to recap on the 27th of April and the 1st of May. And so we're going to recap as a congregation at our individual campuses what God has done. And so part of that, to have that recap, is share your stories. Like, that's huge. As you guys take that packet today, as you take it, part of the responsibility is to share the story. And the reason is, you know, Hebrews talks about the idea that we want to fan the flame of love and good deeds. And so and as you process the story of what God did, share everything. Share, even if you haven't done anything, how has it been? Like, how have those conversations gone? What has it been like? You know, how was it awkward? Or, you know, and what did you do? And so share that with us.
Yeah, even just the process of going through it, I think, is going to stimulate a lot of discussion. Yeah. And there's already some buzz in the office about some of that, what people are doing with their families or what they're thinking through. I'm excited about the idea of hearing the stories.
Yeah.
You know, as you just think about the you know, thousands of people maybe throughout Fresno Valley area here just doing little ordinary acts. How are we going to hear about the stories? How do you share your story? Where do you go for that?
Yeah, on the packet, there's a link to serveday.com, so servedei.com. Right now, and I'd encourage you guys to go there, there's already stories of what people have been doing and what that process has been like, and there's also coaching tips, but that's also on there is where you can share your stories. And so go there, check out what's going on, check out any of the ideas we have on that site, other coaching, and then also to share your story.
Sure, and as you get the packet, you can read through that, obviously go to the website, and all this information's on there.
Yeah.
How do they get a packet? Do they need to sign up for anything? How does that work?
No, it's going to happen in all services right now as we kind of break here for a second and go straight into a time of worship and reflection where we're all just kind of processing Brad's message and what we're just talking about right now. People are coming forward and handing out these packets, and you can take one. We'd encourage you, if you're a couple, take one. If you're an individual, take one. And we're going to just be wrestling with it in a time of reflection and worship right now. I'd encourage you, you know, open up the packet. Like visually see the fact that God's money is sitting in front of you. And this is not to return to the church. This is to go out into our community. This is to be used to take initiative for the sake of another. Wrestle with the fact that we're all going to process this differently. Some of you are probably going to be like, man, this is, I'm fired up. This is exciting. Some of us, if you're anything like me, are going to be like, this is crazy, and I'm freaked out, and like, I don't want to do this. And so let that sit and let that stir and take that stuff to the Lord as we're worshiping together. Look around to each other and go, I'm different than Dale. I'm different than Andrew and the people I'm sitting next to. What's God stirring in them? And what might come from them in their neighborhood where they live, where they work, and where they play? And just think about collectively what God is doing as we have this time of reflection together. And so that's kind of the process for how we're going to get started.
So this is an exciting time. We are at a point where we're really looking forward to see what God will do, and that idea of using the ordinary to for the extraordinary. And I know that God is a creative God, and like you said, we're all different. And there'll be different expressions of this, and it's going to be so unique and so interesting. So we're really encouraging you to dive in and take it in a reflecting time and a prayer time, but take it with just some enthusiasm as well, because this is going to be an exciting time, and we want you to be part of this in our congregation. And Andrew, you know, I just appreciate your heart in all this. I know you've led and kind of spearheaded a lot of this, and I'm just going to ask, would you pray for us as we close and just kind of commit this to the Lord?
Yeah, totally. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it is a daunting thing on us right now. And we just pray, as fear is overcoming us, that you help us know and take courage that you are with us, and that we would grab somebody to do it together. This is better. We're better together than alone. And so may we do life in community. May we do this in community. May your spirit speak to us. And we thank you for the stories. And we celebrate now knowing what's going to happen, that the people of God are going to be throughout these cities loving you, serving you, and being intentional. Lord, may we die to self. May we take initiative for the sake of others throughout this Serve Day season. And may this be a reminder of the fact that it's not about serving on a day. It's about our lives as Christians and as believers of serving you day in and day out and giving our lives away for the sake of the gospel. So we love you, and we're excited for what is to come, Lord. Amen.